In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. All right, before you take your seats, greet about five people and then you can take your seat.
It's quiet greeting. Okay, more for souls. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. We read from verse 18 the last time. I just want to take it from verse 16. Matthew 28. From verse 16 down to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach, mathetuo, a word that means to make disciples. Make disciples. Okay? In all the nations. Then he goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay, so we find Matthew in concluding his writing using these words. Of course, you find the same event as documented by Mark in Mark 16 from verse 15 to 20, or say from verse 14 all the way down to 20. And you have Luke as well from you have here and there, but we can just take Luke 24 from verse 44 all the way down to 49. And if you are going to take all of it, because Luke did a lot of expounding, you can begin from verse 36, right? And also, you have the same in John. John has it from verse 19 to 23. Where he came into them and said, peace be unto you. And then he said it again. And then he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And then whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Also, in the book of Acts, was written by Luke, a follow-up material to the same person he wrote the book of Luke to, who is by the name Theophilus. So, little wonder he started the book of Acts that way, the former treatise, that's account. Have I met you, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach? So, the book of Acts is a follow-up material on the book of Luke. And if you notice that the concluding part of the book of Luke seems very summarized. Okay? Seems very summarized from one way we can say from verse 50 to 53, and another we can say, okay, from 44 down to 53. Now, the book of Acts will now be an expanded view of that very summarized part of the book of Luke. And that's why from the beginning, right from Acts 1:3, you already see Luke referring to Luke 24:44-46. Are you there? So, it gives an expanded view. So, from Acts chapter 1, from verse 3, say to 11, you will find what we have here in Matthew chapter 28, from verse 16 to 21. So Jesus, upon his resurrection, taught his disciples from the scriptures. In Acts 1:3, you see that, where he taught them for 40 days, speaking to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He taught them 40 days, taught them from the scriptures, Luke 24:44-46. So he explained the scriptures to them. And so don't forget that what we have with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we call synoptic gospels, and that simply means that you read them together to have one, to have, let me say one view, a whole view, to have a full perspective. So the same things we read in Acts, for instance, can help us to have a fuller view. That Jesus taught his disciples through the scriptures. So what we read in Matthew here can be understood better by what we read in Acts 1 and verse 3, where we are helped to see that Jesus taught his disciples for 40 days. So he took time with them, explaining the scriptures to them. Okay, so what you see in verse 18, verse 19, and verse 20, for instance, are not, or do not seem as they happened, or did not happen as it seemed. Maybe that's the way to, as it seems. Maybe that's the way to say it. Okay, in other words, we just see it like Jesus came and then just said these statements to them. And after he said it, that was it. No. He taught them for 40 days. Now, the reason Matthew will sound this way is because there's what he wanted to say. He simply wanted to talk about or highlight that commission that Jesus gave to them as he explained through the scriptures. And that's why we have it this summarized. Of course, you shouldn't expect that the writers will then say everything that happened or transpired on a daily basis in their fellowship and interaction with Jesus or in their followership. But they highlighted the things that matter. Praise God. They highlighted the things that matter. You know, someone can go to a meeting and come back and say, the power fell in that meeting and everybody got healed. Does it mean that the meeting lasted 5 seconds? 10 seconds? Maybe a meeting of 4 hours. Maybe that the opening prayer was 1 hour. Then they sang for another 1 hour. Then the word of God was taught for 1 hour. Then, as the preacher began to speak by the Spirit of God, the power of God fell. And then all of the sick people got healed. But the person who narrated the meeting to us said, the power fell. Praise God. And all of the sick people got healed. Are you following what I'm saying? So, it will help if we read all the accounts. I don't intend to go to Mark, Luke, and the rest. We'll just reference so that it can help us to see. So 18, 19, 20 will carry elements of biblical teaching or doctrine, which Jesus did 40 days when he taught his disciples after he rose from the dead. So let's not dwell on that too much and move forward. So the Great Commission, like we call it, is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And how that is possible is by evangelism, that's the preaching of the gospel. Of the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And when the people who have been preached to believe that gospel, they are then discipled. Another word you can use for that, that's for discipled, is to be taught. They are taught. Taught to understand, taught to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so from here, we can see God's agenda in the earth, which is to save men, or to bring men into his family. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" That's God's plan, that's God's desire. And so in Genesis 1:26-28, we find that very plan since the beginning, where God in 26 gave man dominion. Dominion speaks of authority. Authority. And then in verse 28, we find that God blessed them. By saying to them to be fruitful. To multiply. To replenish the earth. The word replenish is to reclaim, to recover. To reclaim, to recover. So he says, be fruitful, multiply. But firstly, in 26, he gave them dominion, authority. The right to do so in the earth. The right to be fruitful, the right to multiply, the right to replenish the earth. Okay? Now, as a good Bible student, you should know that God's increase, or God's harvest, or God's fruitfulness and multiplication is not different from God replenishing the earth. Of course, replenishing can be within a context, in the sense, in the context of the children of Israel that God picked as his people to then reclaim the earth. Or you can go all the way to Abraham, where God found Abraham and said, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Okay? That's the same thing God was communicating to Adam in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. That I want to use you, I want to use you and Eve to reclaim the earth. I want you to multiply in the earth. I want you to be fruitful so that all of the earth can be mine. Now, is the earth not God's? It is. Matthew 5, 34 to 35. Heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. Isaiah 66. So with that, Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Because the earth is God's place of rest. The earth is God's place of rest. Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So the earth belongs to God, but God put man in the earth and so bequeathed authority to him. Okay? He bequeathed authority to him to replenish the earth, to make the earth God's place of rest. In Exodus 9 and 29, he concludes by saying that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. That's how Exodus 9 and 29 concludes. So the earth belongs to God. At no time has the earth not belonged to God. No time in history. It isn't that when Adam sinned, the earth now became the devil's. No. The earth is the Lord's. Praise God. Okay? So the issue on the earth is the right to function. The right to do. The right to put the earth to use, as it were. So, God gave Adam that right since the beginning. That dominion to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. In Genesis 9 and 1, what God said to Adam and Eve, he says, bless them. In Genesis 1:28, he says to Noah after the flood, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Reclaim the earth for me. In Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country from and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay? So God said to Abraham, in thee, in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. He has said before, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great. In Genesis chapter 13, when Lot was separated from Abram, verse 14, Genesis 13, verse 14, Lot now said to Abram, lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Can you see that? Look at 17. Can we read 17 together? One, two, go. Arise, walk through the land and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Hallelujah. So God said to Abraham, as far as you can see, look north, south, east, west, I'll give to you. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So it's like saying, I will make you fill the earth. It's like saying, I will cause you to multiply, to be fruitful. I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. Then he says to him to arise and walk. Take authority. Take authority. As far as you can see, I will give to you, but take the lands. Amen. Take the lands. In Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham goes to rescue Lot, where you have certain kings listed in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, who are taking Sodom. And also in verse 5 and 6. Now, in chapter 14, and Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Of course, read the rest of the story, how he rescued Lot. And on his return, he met Melchizedek. Okay, please don't forget what we just read. Trained men in Abraham's house went after kings that took Lot captive, and he recovered them. Recovered Lot. And recovered more than Lot. Amen. Still in chapter 14, in verse 19. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. In verse 22, Genesis 14, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord's. Amen. Possessor simply means owner. The owner of heaven and earth. Now, what did Melchizedek call Abram? Possessor of heaven and earth. God is the possessor, but God gave authority to Abram when he visited him, as we saw in Genesis 12. Because he said, through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So I will by you reclaim the earth. Praise God. So that simply would mean that I will give you the authority, the right to reclaim the earth. Are you following this? So Abraham was called possessor of heaven and earth. God is the possessor of heaven and earth. So Abraham is called so because God gave him authority. Gave him authority to reclaim the earth. Gave him authority for all the earth be blessed. In Genesis 15, verse 6 records that Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So, in the spirit of what we have been saying, Abraham believed what God said that will happen through him. Believe what God said he would do, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But let's go back to verse 5 and see. Well, there's been like a conversation between God and Abraham, if you read from verse 1, but a quick one in verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my own, in my house is mine heir. Then, of course, he wanted to make Eliezer of Damascus, but God said, no, this won't be your heir. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. God brought Abraham forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Amen. So that's like a rhetorical question. Can you number them? It's like going to the compound. Just go outside and just say, can you number the sand on the ground? And then maybe you attempt it. Say 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time you just pack one handful, you spend the day numbering them. So, as I say, can you number? No, I can't. There are too many. So shall thy seed be. Does that make sense? Okay. So, God wanted all of the earth. God wanted a sea of men. So, Abraham believed that. He believed in the Lord. And it was counted to him for righteousness. In verse 18, Genesis 15, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Then you can read all the way to 21, that he gave all of those places, the Kenites, all of those heights, amen, the Ames and the heights, he gave all to Abram. Praise God. And what you would notice is that these places are not unoccupied. They are not unoccupied. Now, something I forgot to mention, the word possessor is the word kanah, Q-A-N-A-H, a Hebrew word. And it's a word that means to procure or to own. Now, it's a word that also means to recover or to redeem. Amen? So, if you attribute that to a person, it's like saying redeemer. The one who will redeem, who will reclaim, who will recover. Are you following this? So God promised Abram to be the one who will reclaim the earth. Of course, you should know that that's why in Galatians chapter 3, Paul now said something which you should understand. In Galatians 3 and 16, he said, now to Abraham and his seed, were not the promises made, Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Okay? So that means that Paul then interpreted, or we can say Paul then applied, the promise that was made to Abraham, or Abram, that seed that will be made like the stars of the earth, that seed is actually Christ. So it was because of Christ called the possessor of heaven and earth. Because if we're going to say possessor, of course, the possessor is God. Amen? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So the one who is able to redeem, the redeemer of the earth, is Christ. So by promise, he gave Abram the whole earth. If you would agree with me, through you, I will reclaim the earth. Through you, I will redeem. Through you, I will recover. Through you, I will replenish the earth. Amen, amen. And so, by the way, if we then go to, where is that again? Luke chapter 3. We'll see what Luke did. Luke went from Jesus, in terms of genealogy, and went as far as Abraham, like Matthew did in Matthew 1. I'll just give the specific verses to you. Matthew 1. In Matthew 1, from verse 1, Matthew talked about the book of generation, right, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, he went from Abraham all the way to Jesus. That's from verse 2 all the way to 16. Okay? And then you find 14 generations from Abraham to David, from David to the carrying away of Israel into Babylon, and then from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ. 14 generations separate each of those dispensations. Right. Now, so Matthew did Abraham to Jesus. Now, Luke did Jesus all the way to Adam. And that will help you to see something. That same plan of God since the beginning. Same plan of God since the beginning. So God was consolidating on what he started in Adam. Let's put it that way. Since the beginning, the first man. When he spoke to Noah. Same thing when he spoke to Abraham. Are you following this? And what do you notice to claim the earth? To by man take the earth. Okay? The earth belongs to God. And that has not changed. That never changed throughout history. Okay? So of course it will mean that there's a meaning to what God is saying. The earth belongs to God. It always has. Nobody took ownership of the earth. But there is what God wants on the earth. And that's what he communicated. That's what he communicated to man since the beginning. This is what I want on the earth. If we use the case of Noah as a case study, earth was filled with evil and wickedness, even in the heart of man, and God was displeased, disappointed, repenting that he made man. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. And so, the judgment that was to come because of the evil of man in the earth was forestalled by Noah, preaching 120 years. But they still refused to believe. And therefore, they were destroyed. And God started again and says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Does that make sense? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, in Genesis chapter 17, of course, in chapter 16, Abraham tried to. Replenish the earth by the arm of flesh. And God said no. No, 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 not at all. So Genesis 17, right? From verse 5 to 8. Verse 4, called him a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. What is the meaning of Abraham? For a father of many nations have I made thee. A father of many nations have I made thee. Okay? Abraham in the Hebrew would mean father of a great multitude. Here is to someone that is without a child from Sarah. God won from Sarah's mistress Hagar. God said, no, not that. Earlier, I wanted to make Eleazar of Damascus the heir of his house. God said, no, from Sarah. From that womb that has been called barren, I will make you a father of nations. So God called him Abraham. Changed his name. Changed his identity. In Genesis 18, to read to 8, I was established by, we read up to 5. I'll make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after me. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherewith thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Hallelujah. So, chapter 18, right? From verse 16 to 33, you find Abraham in a way walking in that plan of God. In a way where he intercedes before God on behalf of Sodom. Genesis 18, 16 to 33. Where I say, if 550 righteous souls, would you spare them? Would you spare the place? And I'll say, yes. Okay, 30, would you? Yes. 20, would you? Yes. 10, yes. Okay? Interceding for that place. What has God said? I will reclaim the earth. Now, of course, you know that Isaac was born, and in Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and the Lord loved Jacob. Okay? Loved there simply means to prefer. Okay? So, a simple definition of Jacob, Esau have I hated, has to do with preference. I have not preferred, that's all. Now, in Jacob, Israel, there we have the 12 tribes. And then Joseph's sojourning in Egypt, Jacob and his sons came to him. They were preserved. They multiplied in Egypt until Joseph died. And the king that that knew Joseph died, and the king that did not know Joseph arose, amen, and began to oppress the children of Israel. And then God sent Moses to deliver them out. Don't forget, keep your eyes and your mind on the promise. What God yet wanted to do is to fulfill his plan for them. Fulfill his plan on the earth. I would better put that. Now, remember what we read in Genesis chapter 13. Is it 13? No. Genesis 15. Yes. What we read in 15 from verse 18 all the way to 21. Are you there? You will actively find that in Joshua. Of course, that began to play out in Moses. Until God said, no, you won't enter. Appoint Joshua in your stead. Anoint him so that he will lead the charge of the children of Israel, and so on and so forth. So, by the time you get to Joshua, the book of Joshua, you now find an active taking. Oh. The death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, after the death, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, that's verse 1, Moses' minister, saying, when my servant is dead, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them. Which I do give to them. Even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. You see that? So there was now an active taking. Of course, remember, in Abraham, in Isaac, you find that they dwelt there, but in tents. So not as though it was just a mere, I want to move you from point A to point B. When you are there, then you now have the land, or by faith, it is now yours. No. Of course, we know that God was looking at the entire earth. And then Canaan was used as a reference point. And all of those places where strangers dwelt, but God gave to the children of Israel. And he had given in Abraham. So God instructs Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, if you read from verse 5 down to 8, to be strong and of a good courage. He had promised him in verse 3, Joshua 1, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. In verse 11, he It says, from within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Of course, Jordan is significant in the fulfillment of God's plan in the earth. And that is why Jesus also was baptized in Jordan. You would also find the same in Elijah and Elisha, where they passed through Jordan. So John the Baptist baptized in Jordan to signify something, just like children of Israel. When they are passing through Jordan under the leadership of Joshua, brought about the possession of the lands that God promised Abraham in Genesis. Is it 15 or 16? Is it 15? The Hittites, the Genesis 15, right? From verse 18 to right. Okay, so in Joshua chapter 3 to 4, you find where Israel now cross Jordan supernaturally. Supernaturally. You cross Jordan to possess the lands where God had promised them. In Joshua chapter 6, they took Jericho. The walls came down and they possessed it. They consumed the whole place. In Joshua chapter 7 to 8, there was a battle in Ai, where Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, and in that place, again, in chapter 8, Ai falls, and there was a covenant renewal with Israel. In Joshua chapter 9 to chapter 10, Amorites defeated. Look at Joshua chapter 9. It came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks. And all. In other words, they saw what he did with Jericho, they saw what he did with Ai, and they just partnered. Amen. They sowed seed and gave offering. Big ones. Eh? Don't come and destroy us. We are with you, as it were. Okay? So in chapter 10, you have the Amorites destroyed. In chapter 10 to chapter 11, you see Joshua defeating the southern and the northern kings of Canaan, going from this territory to that territory and defeating kings, taking their territories. And then from chapter 32, or as a matter of fact, you can highlight Joshua 12, 7 to 24. And you'll find the kings that were defeated under Joshua. And from chapter 13, you'll find some unconquered territories, and you'll find where the lands were divided, the lands that have been conquered amongst Israel. So if you read through the book of Joshua, that paints a picture to us like an active possession of lands. The book of Joshua is like the book of Acts, where after Jesus baptized in Jordan, just like the children of Israel were baptized through Jordan, amen, something began in the earth. Jesus walked the earth 3.5 years, did miracles, and then he was taken to die, buried, raised from the dead, and upon his resurrection, he had instructed his disciples that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God will indwell men, and then they will be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel and take on nations, make disciples of all nations. Amen? And so, in the book of Acts, you find where they began to actively take on places. Even though it took them a while to go beyond Jerusalem and Judea, persecution eventually broke out in chapter 7, chapter 8, where Philip was found in Samaria and it began to spread like that. Then the advent of Paul, Barnabas, Silas, and the rest. And then we began to see the gospel get across to Asia. Amen? So we see in Joshua where actively the people of God began to accomplish in the earth God's plan by taking territories, possessing them. They'll go into a place, they'll strip them, they'll fight them, win. They'll go in the name of the Lord, find them, win, strip the kings. Many instances, kill the kings. That's just to end that leadership and then take over that land. Eventually, those lands were apportioned to the children of Israel. Now, this is where we now live. This is where we now stay. Apportioned to the tribes. Praise God. So, as Israel passed through Jordan and then began to conquer territories, so it is in the church today that Jesus, having been baptized, was identified on the earth as the one that will begin God's plan in the earth. The plan of taking territories till the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen? And you see that upon his resurrection, he had about 120 disciples, which he taught and instructed. And when they received the indwelling of the Spirit, they began to take more people. Glory to God. So in the book of Acts, we're supposed to go through the book of Acts, but we don't have the time to do that. On that very day of Pentecost, 3,000 people or souls were added to the church. Praise God. That is Amorites defeated. Amen. Are you here? That is the wall of Jericho just fell down and they just possessed Jericho. And then, before you know it, in chapter 5, 2,000 more people were talked about. And there was increase, and increase, and increase. By chapter 8, Philip went to take Samaria. Glory to God. And so therefore, these biblical references and events must paint to us a picture of what God wants to do and is doing through us today. What God wants to do and is doing through us today. Again, don't forget Joshua 12 from verse 7 all the way to 24 to see the number of kings that Joshua took and destroyed. The number of kings he defeated. The number of territories he took. And that leaves us a scriptural and spiritual example today of territories that we ought to take and unconquered territories that we must go after. As I close, I leave you with one of the mighty men of David to, in the spirit of more for souls. I mean, we're talking about what more we can do to ensure that we reach more people, that we conquer more territories. I'm sure you know today the territories that we ought to conquer are the hearts of men. Right? The hearts of men. The hearts of men. The hearts of men. Where the gospel permeates through the heart of one and the other. And another and another. That the Spirit of God finds a home therein. Then that land has been allocated. Hallelujah. Has been divided. Praise God. Has been occupied. The God of this world has been chased out. A conquest by the gospel and the Spirit of God has happened. And that heart now belongs to God. Amen? That heart now belongs to God. So in 2 Samuel 23, I leave you with this. One of David's mighty men by the name Eleazar. 2 Samuel 23. Are you there? Okay. Talked about the Tachonite in verse 8. Who is chief among the captains? The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Then in verse 9, says after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Okay, please don't see Dodo. Dodo. If you are seeing it, make sure it sounds different when you read or say it. Dodo. Or Dodo. It must not sound Dodo. Praise God. Why? I don't know. I'm just saying. The Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines. That were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Look at his attitude. He arose, verse 10, are you there? And smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto his sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I leave you with Eleazar, an example of a laborer. A laborer who fought
Even when the children of Israel were gone away and he was left alone, he fought till his hands were till his hand clave to his sword. He fought till there was victory. He was resolute. He was dogged. He was passionate. He did all that needed to be done till there were souls, praise God, there were souls to account for, till there was a fruitfulness, a harvest of souls. The children of Israel returned to spoils. They returned to spoils. The people returned to spoils because of Eleazar. I want to charge you today that you commit yourself more to the things that you can do, that you ought to be doing, to see more men come to the knowledge of the truth, to see more hearts taken for Jesus, to see more places conquered, for the earth belongs to God. And the earth he has given to the children of men. And in Christ, he has given us that authority. When he raised his son from the dead, he bequeathed that authority to us when we put faith in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, today, authority is ours. Dominion is ours. The promise is ours to take on more territories, to take on Jericho, to take on the Amorites, to take on the land of Canaan, to take on the Hivites, to take on the Jebusites, to take on diverse kinds of people, and to reap a harvest of multiplication. As I close, I ask you, what more are you going to do for souls? What more are you going to do in prayer, in fastings? What more are you going to do in actually going out to preach? What more are you going to do in preparing well enough before going out to preach? How prepared will you be? How resolute are you, like Eleazar, who will come what may stay to fight that good fight of faith, to see that the gospel permeates many hearts and that the victory becomes certain? I mean, you can behave like Eleazar even with one person. That guy seems to be hard-headed, seems to be tough, seems to be someone that does not want to listen, that's not ready, seems to, but you will stay till your hand cleaves to your sword, until a great victory is wrought through you in the heart of that person. Hallelujah. 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 I trust the Lord for more. More. Able to do more, more, more for souls. More. 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 Stand to your feet and just pray.